This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
All right, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan Purocast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. It is Sunday, July 10th, and we are just 1 week away from the first night of the G1 Climax 26, which is going to be taking place on Monday, July 18th, live from Sapporo. There's going to be English commentary for that show by our good friends Kevin Kelly and King Carino. And we're also going to be going through the lineup for the first night of the Super J Cup, which is going to take place on Wednesday, July 20th. So, Damon, needless to say, it is going to be a big week in the world of NJPW coming up very shortly.
Get your sleep while you can, kids. Rest up, get your supplies ready, get your water and your protein bars like I did, and my chimichanga right before we went on the air. Get it now, because your body, if this is your first time, you're gonna feel it. Work's gonna be sluggish. You're gonna be a little unproductive at the office, but get used to it, because this is gonna be a fun. This is a fun end of. We were calling this. God, for a couple of months now, we were saying that you know what? July is going to be crazy. August is going to be crazy. Lots of cool shit right around the corner after the G1. It's fun. This is it. This is the wheelhouse, kids. We're going to have some fun.
Yep, this is that meaty part of the year where you are just going to be blown away by some of the most amazing pro wrestling that you will see all year. And I'm looking at both of these blocks here for the tournament this year, and man, I'll tell you what, this is very exciting, because we have so much new and fresh blood from guys like Sanada and Kenny Omega, Tama Tonga, even. Excited about Naomichi Marufuji, who has been in past tournaments, but he's here this year. I'm excited about his matches with Tanahashi and Okada. There's a lot to look forward to in the next month.
I'm excited. I really am. And it's this time of year that everybody looks forward to. The fresh matchups, yes. Everyone is, I don't want to say upset, but listen, everybody acknowledges the fact that no AJ and no Nakamura. It's it is what it is. But I think the additions that are here and the fresh matchups that we're going to see, and the fact that hey guys, guess what? Every night we got singles matches. Yes, we have an undercard chock full of tags and juniors intertwined in these tags. And some people I'm seeing online, Colin, some people are like, listen, just skip that undercard stuff and just get to the, as we like to say, the meat and the potatoes of these singles matches and these tournament matches. But I'm going to recommend that you don't. Because I really feel like there's little nuggets in each of these matches. And again, we're not going to go over every single match. I say it's important, but we're not going to cover it. But here's what I'm going to say. There's going to be a point where your body is going to shut down and you're going to be like, I've had enough, and it's going to be a struggle. Acknowledge that, recognize that, then check, then tap out of those matches. But I say go as hard as you can out of the gate. See where you stand. Hey, if you can take another mixed tag night, do it. Don't miss it. They're not terrible matches, guys. They're good, okay matches. Usually with guys that are on the off night. So again, A block will go, B block will be chock full of tag matches, and then they flip it each and every night. Don't skip them. see how far you can go. And again, now I say that, Colin, we haven't gotten into it. Talk to me on night eight when we got another eight-man tag, and I'm like, oh, I'm so tired. I just want to go to bed.
Well, I'll be honest with you. Last year, my viewing habits for the G125 were that I just exclusively watched the tournament matches because, you know, we had just started up the PuroCast back then, and, we wanted to get right into, the meat and potatoes, as we always say. But as you alluded to, there are some interesting undercard matches on a lot of these shows, and for what it's worth, we're going to be talking about the entire card for the first night, which once again takes place on Monday the 18th, and I think that there might be some hidden gems, so to speak, in these undercard matches.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, especially this year with all the fresh matchups and there's some tag matches that are pretty interesting. So again, they're all scattered throughout, but don't skip them. Not yet. See what you can do. Like I said, I'm talking all fresh and ready to go. Talk to me on night seven, night eight, where I'm like, oh, I can't do it. I just gotta push through the cards. Good news is, by and large, most of these shows start at, for at least for us on the East Coast in the United States, 5:30 a.m.
Yes.
Those are doable shows, right? The first show, the July 18th show that we'll talk about in a few moments, 2 a.m. Eastern.
That is correct.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one. On a Monday? Ugh, that's tough.
Do you know that New Japan is one of the sole reasons why I'm considering moving to the West Coast?
Really?
Just to have that, those 3 hours.
I think it's a bonus. I wouldn't hitch your wagon, so to speak, Colin, move out to Seattle because of New Japan Pro Wrestling. So the 18th, 2 a.m. But then it's followed up with like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in a row.
That started at 5:30.
Yeah, 5:30. The July 30th show is at 5 a.m. So again, you're going to miss that a little bit. But the 22nd is 5:30 a.m. Eastern, 23rd, 5:30 a.m. Eastern, 24th. Wow, man, that's going to be that run. So it's the 18th, right?
Yes.
And then, correct me if I'm wrong, it's the 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
Then the 23rd.
Right.
Then the 24th.
Yep.
Then the 25th.
Yep.
Holy
shit. Keep going.
Shitballs.
26th.
What? Oh, is there the 26th? I thought we skipped the 26th and we go to the 27th.
No, there is a show on the 26th.
Is the 26th the Home Omega?
26th. Let's take a look at the car for that here. We've got Nakajima versus Evil, Honma versus Omega.
Okay.
Nagata Yoshihashi, Yano Naito, and Shibata versus Elgin, which is a match that's definitely at the top of my list.
Yeah, fuck. I know I don't want to let cats out of bags. Not that I like the murdering of cats or anything, but let's let them out of the bag. Our good friend Eric from the Classic Board on Facebook was chatting a little bit with Big Mike. Might be some surprises come that match. Well, I'll leave it at that.
Interesting.
Circle that match. Circle that match. I believe that's the first time they're going to be locking horns, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. So I know Mike's super excited for that. All right. So that's the 26th. So is there a 27th?
There is no show on the 27th. Okay. 28th. It resumes again on the 28th.
Okay.
Then there's another break there on the 29th, and then we resume on the 30th, 31st, and the August 1st show actually starts at 6 a.m. Eastern time, which is nice.
Yeah, yeah, 6 a.m. Eastern on the 1st. The 31st, that's with Tanahashi and Goto, and what else is on that? Ishii and Tomatonga. That starts at 2 a.m. I have that as 2 a.m. on the 31st. Am I wrong?
The 31st, I have that as 3 a.m. actually.
Okay. Well, one or the other. Okay. Either way, it sucks. Either way, it's fucking brutal.
Yeah.
So, wow, that's a that last, that July is going to be tough. You think you? I swear, people think I'm kidding. This is especially here on the East Coast, again in Great Britain or in Europe or in other parts of the world, it might be a little bit easier, it might be a little bit harder, but for the East Coast U.S., man, these things are tough, and for everybody, because it's literally night after night after night after night. My God, the 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th, 28th, 30th, and 31st, right?
Yep.
Whew. Fuck me. But it's great. Again, I'm sitting here bitching and moaning, just knowing that your body doesn't quite recover, right? And it's going to be – but some of these shows are really, really tight, really fun.
All right, so the Super J Cup is going to be taking place at Corican Hall on Wednesday, July 20th, and that is going to be live at 2:30 a.m. Eastern Time on New Japan World, of course. And Damon, I'll be honest with you, I don't know a whole lot of the non-New Japan guys that are in this tournament, so why don't we do this? Why don't we talk about some of the key matches here involving our NJPW guys, and maybe you can kind of fill in the blanks on some of the guys that you might be a little familiar with.
Yeah, no, that sounds good. And again, you know, we're not going to sit here and claim to know, you know, some, you know, of these grimier guys, and I put that in air quotes, and on, you know, some of these really indie pro wrestling promotions. I'm not going to sit here and blow smoke up people's asses and think that I'm an expert on Gherkin Mask, which I'm not. But listen, there are names that we recognize. I think this tournament, Colin, and you tell me, because the gauge I get is I was really excited when they first announced this tournament and the ideas of working with all these other promotions. But for me, it was, you know, it was, guys, take this with a little bit of a grain of salt, because you're not going to get like all major, and I hate using the term, superstars in this tournament. It is going to be a vehicle for a lot of younger guys to get work in promotions that maybe not everyone watches all the time. And maybe we should do a little bit better watching. I mean, listen, I'll watch a Big Japan. I'll watch All Japan. I'll watch some Dragon Gate. But, you know, even for me, there's some of these names and I'm like, oh, I can't really give you a hot take on, you know, Tomato and Seidel as an example. So, one, I think this is a good thing too, though. I think this is a tournament where you are going to see faces and hear names that maybe people aren't as familiar with as you know, I want to say as they should be, but they, you know, we just aren't. And I think the majority of our audience feels the same way. But here's a great opportunity to learn more. And hopefully this is like one of those catalysts that people can use to learn a little bit more about the juniors in NOAH, or learn a little bit more about All Japan Juniors, or to learn a little bit more about Michinoku Pro. And I really think that that's really going to be the best and takeaway from this. I think the matches are going to be great. I hope the matches are going to be great, should I say. But I hope that this is a springboard for others to be like, oh my God, that, you know, I'm just going to pull a name out of that. Ishimori versus
Kushida.
Kushida match. And that's the one I want people to circle, because that's one I can speak of. Because Ishimori used to be a New Japan Young Lion, Colin.
I did not know that.
Okay, so he used to be a Young Lion, I think in 2003 or 4. I could be wrong about that time frame. I'm old. I don't remember dates very well. But yeah, he actually teamed with Hiroshi Tanahashi. And they won a under 30, a U30, they called it, like a single day tag tournament. And they defeated Raisuke Taguchi and Shinsuke Nakamura to win this tournament. So just taking that information, again, even if you're not familiar with NOAH and you're not familiar with Ishimori's current body of work, like, take that information, right? So new Japan watchers, take that and absorb that. So again, okay, this guy's got a pedigree, right? Longest reigning GHC junior champion, right? And Ishimori. So him against Kushida in a first round match, That's going to be fucking tremendous, guys. I'm telling you right now. That I can speak on. And I'll bet the house that that match is going to blow your socks off.
Yeah, and you know, a couple months back when it was announced that we were going to be seeing another Super J Cup, the reason why I was so excited is because my very first introduction to New Japan Pro Wrestling was the original Super J Cup back from 94. I remember getting the DVD from High Spots back when I was in high school. And that was really my very first introduction into this foreign land of New Japan. So that's why I was so excited for that.
But again, you use that show as a springboard, as a catalyst to kind of branch out and learn a little bit more. You got a little bit more into New Japan. You got a little bit more into Noah from that. You got a little bit more into, you know, maybe even following Sasuke or Eddie Guerrero. And, you know, finding out that, you know, Black Tiger was Eddie Guerrero and, of course, Benoit. And, you know, that tournament for a lot of people, you know, back in the day, that was like the tape trading tape. Like you had to get that. It's an amazing show. If I'm not mistaken, that was the one Benoit won, right? It was Benoit Sasaki, right? Final.
Yep. That was the final. A 5-star match, according to Big Dave.
Yeah, Dave gave that one 5. And then the match before, the Sasuke Liger match, you know, I think that got 3 3/4. So, which I loved. I love that match. I love the spot where he gets a little bit flamboyant, Sasuke and Liger. I think they fucked up a spot right toward the finish. And I love Liger with the little hand wave.
Sasuke was, he was about to do like a springboard and he kind of just slipped. And then Liger did the little, you know, motion in the air with his hand. That's a classic moment, actually.
Yeah. You know, you look at that original lineup, and we'll probably talk more about this lineup than the one that's coming up. But you look at that lineup. You know, Ghetto, Dean Malenko, Super Delphin, Otani, Shinjiro Otani, Takamichi Noko,
Ricky Fuji.
Ricky, your favorite.
That guy had the best jacket ever.
He absolutely did. El Samurai was one of my favorites. I mean, that lineup, you know, Benoit and Liger and, you know, that lineup was probably one of the best. You know, I know what I'd like to do, Colin. And again, I feel like I don't want to jump around too much, but keep this in our back pocket, for later in the show. Let's go head to head with this lineup. Because again, we talk about fantastic, wonderful, you know, groundbreaking moments in pro wrestling. This is probably one of them, with this lineup. But I want to compare this lineup to what was just recently announced for Pro Wrestling Guerrilla's Bola, the Best of Los Angeles this year.
Oh,
I'd like to go head to head and see what lineup might be considered. Because to me, when that lineup was announced earlier this week, that Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, my first thoughts was this might be the best lineup. Again, we don't even have matchups yet. We just know the participants. There's 25, 26, right? This might be the best collection of pro wrestlers on a single show, well, you know, a single tournament that I ever remember.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with that. I mean, you know, we've got Marty Scurll and Zack Sabre Jr. and Ospreay and
Kyle O'Reilly,
Kamaitachi, Adam Cole. You know, we're gonna go through the lineup there a little later on, but it is a blow away who's who of pro wrestling in this tournament.
Modern day pro wrestling, yeah, it really is. It really is an amazing lineup. Okay, but getting back to this Super J Cup, because I know we're all over. Hey, let me ask you this. Let's work our way forward. So that was the first one. The second one. Do you remember much about the second one? The one where Liger won. He pinned Ghetto.
The thing that I remember most about the 95 Super J Cup, to be honest with you, is Chris Jericho calling Chris Benoit a motherfucker during the middle of their match. That's what I remember the most about it.
Yeah, Benoit pinned Jericho in that one. I thought was good, too. I remember Damian 666, if you remember him. Otani was in that one. Sho Funaki was in that one. El Samurai was in it. Jericho, if I'm not mistaken, Ultimo Dragon. This is the war one, right? This is the WAR run one. So Ultimo Dragon did very well in it. I think Liger pinned him, though, right? In the semifinals?
I believe so. Yeah, I don't remember the 95 one as well as the 94 one. And you know what? I'm gonna try and actually go back and watch both of these in their entirety in my spare time. You know,
yeah,
just to kind of get myself ready. Yeah, exactly. They're just classic events.
Yeah, Liger pinned Ultimo Dragon, and Ghetto pinned Benoit. Ghetto was kind of like the shocker from FMW. I think he represented FMW in this tournament. He pinned Benoit. That was the big upset.
That's crazy.
Yeah, if you think about it, you know, it's kind of weird. But that show was super hot. And then they put it on hold. Didn't they? They put it on hold until like 2000. I remember the 2000 one with Christopher Daniels, and I just remember like Naoki. I used to really love Naoki Sano. He was in this one.
And Liger won that one too, right?
Yeah, he won that one. He pinned was it Shima of Dragon Gate, CMIA, the guy who's in Dragon Gate right now. So he pinned him. I remember that. I want to pronounce his name Shima, but it's Shima.
Yeah, I always want to pronounce it like that too.
Yeah, but I do remember Curry Man, Christopher Daniels in that one, and I also remember, if I'm not mistaken, Togi Makabe was in this one. He lost in the first round.
That I did not know.
Yeah,
I've never seen the 2000 one before.
Yeah, it's okay. I wouldn't say it's blow the doors off. It was okay. But yeah, check that out. Check out Togi Makabe in the first round losing as a junior, and where he is now. It's kind of weird. Not bad. And then what was 2000? And then did they do a two? They didn't do anything. I think they put it on hold, didn't they?
I think
until 2009.
Yeah,
no, they did a 2004.
Yeah, I was going to say a 2004 one.
Yeah, Marufuji was in it. I couldn't tell you much about that one. Wang Kasai was in it, or Jun Kasai, is it? Who else was in that? Marufuji was in it. It was short. I want to say 12 guys, 6 guys, 8. I think it was 8 guys. I think it was 8 guys, but it was really uneventful to me. It was kind of lost its luster. And then they brought it back in 2009, and that was actually held around Christmas time. I do remember this one, the 2009 one. Was around Christmas time that year, and the winner of the Super J Cup that year was going to get a shot at Tiger Mask at Wrestle Kingdom. That's how they determined who was getting a junior title shot. And it was Devitt. Devitt pinned Marufuji. Marufuji's been on a lot of New Japan stuff, guys.
You know, Marufuji has been around a long time when you think about it.
Yeah, he lost. Actually, Liger lost in the first round to Marufuji in this one. I do remember that. Who else was in that one? Devitt won. Kota Ibushi was in this one. Kota Ibushi lost in the first round.
Wow.
Yeah, Kota Ibushi lost to Ghetto. And if you're familiar with anybody here is familiar with DDT, they'll recognize that Dan Shoku Dino, he currently wrestles in DDT, if I'm not mistaken. He was in this tournament as well. Not a bad tournament. Again, Devitt winning, which is not bad. But for this one, they bring it back. So I told you the match to look out for in the first round. Your Titan or Teton, if you will.
He's from CMLL, correct?
Correct, against your boy, Will Ospreay.
That's right. That's one to look out for.
I think so. I think that should be a real good match. I think Liger against Yeta, E-I-T-A from Dragon Gate. You'll know him. He was in, and if I'm not mistaken, again, Dragon Gate is not my wheelhouse, but he was in the Millennials. Should be right up your alley, Colin Miller.
That's right.
I think that's a Liger first-round loss. I think Liger, if any of these guys lose in the first round, I think Liger is one of them.
I think so, and like especially if you take into consideration a lot of the comments that he made about the this last Best of the Super Juniors tournament, like the guy, you know, the style has just evolved, you know, so far beyond his capabilities at the moment that, you know, he would rather just sit it out.
Yeah, I think that's a safe bet to say that Liger loses in the first round there. To me, I kind of mapped this thing out, and again, in some cases, I wasn't quite sure because I just wasn't quite familiar with some of the names. Others, I was a little bit more familiar with. But to me, I just kind of see this working out in the way that the blocks work out. There's a good possibility, Con, that you're going to see a Will Ospreay, Matt Sydal second round match.
And you know that I am all in on that one.
I knew that would wet your palate.
That's in the Colin Miller wheelhouse there.
Yeah, yeah. So I could see that happening. How I kind of see this being played out, though, I kind of see – I think Kushida is going to do well. I really think Bushi's going to do well. I actually have penciled in as my official prediction for the J Cup. You want to hear my prediction, Colin? All right, here's the winner. Here's who I'm going in. I think it's in the finals you're going to see Kushida against Bushi. That's what I'm thinking. And I think Bushi wins. I think Bushi wins this tournament.
What? You know, I never would have guessed that you would have picked Bushi to win the Super J Cup.
I have, actually, I have, when it gets to that second round, I have Ospreay over Titan, and Ospreay and Sydal matchup, and I have Sydal winning. So I have Sydal beating Ospreay. I have Bushi beating Taguchi in the second round. So Bushi would then go on and take on Matt Sydal, and I gave Bushi the win. I kind of just see that the way that the blocks mapped out. I just see that how it worked out. Kushida, I think, gets past Ishimori, and I think he makes it. And I think that semifinal match, Ieda against Kushida, so the Dragon Gate representative against Kushida, that should be a fucking bang up match. Kushida Bushi final. I think that kind of makes sense. They have that built in feud already. I think they work well together. I don't like to see Bushi.
Just to be clear, you think that there is no possibility of a non NJPW guy winning this tournament?
No, I don't think there's no possibility. No, not by any stretch of the imagination. But just the way that I saw the blocks kind of pan out, that seemed like the path it was going to go. Bushi in the first round has Yoshinobu Kanemaru, and he is an older guy. If I'm not mistaken, if it's the same one I'm thinking of, and I'm too lazy to go fucking Google it, but if I'm not mistaken, he's the dude. He wrestled for All Japan, I think, like in the 90s, right? in the mid 90s. And he, like, I think he holds the record for the most junior title wins for the GHC junior belt. He's been around forever, if it's the guy I'm thinking of. He's always there, but he's never been he's never left a big mark. I think Bushi gets past that, and then it's Taguchi. And I think he can get past Taguchi. I don't know. I just feel like a Bushi. This is Bushi's. I really do. I don't think they give it to Kushida.
See, I think they do give it to Kushida.
Yeah.
I honestly believe that this is going to this whole tournament is going to be about furthering Kushida's dominion as the face of the junior heavyweight division in New Japan.
I think Kushida needs an opponent. And I think this is a perfect setup for that. You know what I mean? Like, he got past the Ospreay challenge, right? He needs something to, he needs something to do, right?
Let's say though that Kushida down the line, maybe at Wrestle Kingdom 11, let's just say that he's going to face Will Ospreay again. He's going to defend the title against him again, assuming that he still has the title. But wouldn't the win, let's say Ospreay wins that match, wouldn't the win mean, even more if Kushida won the Super J Cup? I think that'd be kind of cool, having the winner of the Super J Cup versus the winner of the Best of the Super Juniors tournament, clash again for the third time at Wrestle Kingdom.
I think it makes sense. I think it's a good point. In tournaments like these, though, I do know, how I always talk about, G1 is not about making new stars. G1's not about making new stars. You hear me fucking say it 1,000 times. Tournaments like these, though, kind of are about making new stars. So that's why I'm kind of leaning not with Kushida. I'm kind of leaning with Bushi. I don't know. Los Ingobernables being red hot. I don't know. I kind of see a Bushi win. Yeah, I do. I just, and again, just the way the blocks lay out and the way the brackets lay out. I think the biggest I don't think Seidel moves on. So then you'd have a Kushida Seidel final. Do you think that would happen? Do you think Seidel?
No.
I have Ospreay beating Seidel. You think Ospreay goes far in this?
Yeah, I think he'll go far, but you know, as far as you know, being in the final or winning the whole enchilada, I don't see that happening.
Okay, who's your pick? You're still picking Kushida?
Yeah, I'm picking Kushida because I just think it would be cool once again, you know, to have the winner of the Super J Cup versus winner of Best of the Super Juniors. You know, to me, that's a big Wrestle Kingdom match.
Okay, all right, and again, I don't think anybody's got a real strong handle on this, in my mind. You know, like, I don't really think that there's a clear cut, hands down, this guy's winning this thing.
Much like Daisuke Harada win the whole thing.
Listen, stranger things have happened. But yes, it's one of those things where I'm hoping that the outcome of this is more about learning more about other promotions and having new fans latch on to certain individual juniors to kind of be a catalyst, kind of like the way the Super J Cup was in the 90s for not only for myself and others listening to this podcast. So again, fingers crossed for that. I think it's going to be a good show. To me, let me ask you this. This tournament, G1, the CWC, the Cruiserweight Classic, as they're calling it. And I'll even throw in Bola. What are you more excited about? Scale them for me.
Well, I'll tell you what. I have certain curiosities about all of these tournaments. Now, my curiosity involving the Super J Cup is, like you said, you know, maybe learning a little bit about, you know, these different junior heavyweights from these other promotions in Japan.
That's hard. You know, after a long day at work, or after, you know, I'm just, you know,
I know where you're going with this.
But you know, sometimes it's you don't want to learn anything new. You know what I mean? I just want to be entertained.
Am I really going to care about Aoyagi versus Tai Chi, you know, after I get done a 9-to-5?
Well, I think a lot of people are saying that. I think a lot of people are saying that. It's something where you're going to have to make a commitment to yourself to follow, especially these early round matches, because they're going to be people that you're not going to know. They're going to be people that you're not going to be familiar with. They're going to be people that now, if you could just sit back and enjoy the matches, you're going to be in for a treat. I think you're going to be in for the ride. But if you're a less than hardcore pro wrestling fan, this show might not be for everyone. And I'm going to say that with full disclosure that this is for me. I'm interested. And there are – like I think I watch more pro wrestling than a lot of people, right?
I would say so.
I think so, right? I think it's a safe statement. Even I'm kind of like, okay. You know what I mean? And here's the thing. When they announced the Super J Cup, It was exciting, and it was, the possibilities were there.
I think it's the legacy of the tournament that got people so excited and thinking about all the possibilities. But then, you know, when the roster was announced and people were kind of scratching their heads, thinking, "Who? I don't know who that is. I don't know who that is." You know, it's going to be kind of rough. But regardless, I am excited about it. I will be watching. We will be, doing a review of that first night here. Yep. Now, as far as what tournament in general am I most excited for?
Rank them
this summer. G1 has to be number one.
Me too.
G1 absolutely has to be number one. This Bola lineup. Man, I'll tell you what.
You want to get into that now?
Yeah. I have it in front of me. We can, there's a lot of New Japan stars taking place in this tournament. So, you know, there is an NJPW tie in here. Yeah. So, let's go through it.
Okay. Again, every year they have this. Now, here's the thing with Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. And whether you disagree or you agree with their business model, it is what it is. Here's number one. Number one, these Best of Los Angeles shows have been circled on wrestling fans' calendars for a few years now. They're always top notch, and Meltzer's kind of latched his teeth into them, and his pants are down, right, when it comes to bolas. So every year you kind of look forward to see who's going to be in it, and usually it's a cavalcade of independent stars, and even in some years you'll get some Japanese stars from indie promotions there, some bigger names that are really sexy. This year, for fuck's sake, this lineup is redonkulous, right? So again, getting back to my original point, so it's in like a VFW hall.
Right? Pretty much.
I mean, it only holds, what, 300, 400 people?
Yeah, a couple hundred people.
And there's no air conditioning, right?
So it's got to be hot as balls.
Oh, it's if you watch these shows, everybody's in tank tops and flip-flops and you know, they look like they're dehydrating in front of your eyes.
I mean, it's, Southern California in August.
Yeah, it's fucking warm, to say the least. And then they got these, the building. Like I said, it looks like, your fucking, your uncle's second wedding at some shitty hall.
At the Elk Club.
Exactly right. The bars in the background is in the hard camera shot. The bars right in front of you. It's really a shitty building. So it's almost impossible to get tickets. It's almost impossible. And they turn away people left and right, and even from what I understand, it's pretty decent names. They'll be like, no, you can't get in. It's sold out.
Johnny Depp shows up, and they're like, sorry, Johnny.
You think I could pull the old, hey, Damon from Purecast?
I'm not so sure.
You don't think it's going to happen?
Stranger things have happened. But
I don't think that's happening. But so it's a very tough ticket to get. Very tough ticket to get. That's number one. Number two. They don't stream. They're not on pay-per-view. iPay-per-view. They're not on nothing. You're not seeing it. You're not watching it. You're not watching it live.
Their business model is based exclusively off of DVD sales, pretty much.
What the fuck?
I know. It's very archaic and almost like hipstery, if you will.
And it's that. And this is me saying that this is fucking antiquated, right? Right. And here's the thing, too. It's not like the DVDs are out, somebody's, up all night burning DVDs. You don't see these fucking shows until it's at least a good month afterward, right?
Yeah.
I don't think I'm exaggerating. I think it's more than that.
Yeah, because I remember when you got the DVDs for last year's Bola, it was like a while after it took place.
It was. It really was. That's fucking ludicrous to me. It's absolutely mind-blowing to me. So you got that. So legit, it's one of the best shows of the year, but the dust that collects on that DVD before you get it, it's weeks. And again, there it does generate a buzz, when the people that are live at these shows, the 300 people that find a way to get in, when they get in, they tweet and they're talking about these matches. And then, Big Dave's at these shows. He finds a way to get his ass in there. He writes about it in that week's Observer, raving about matches. And then everybody's salivating. Everybody wants to see this fucking show.
And I know that a lot of Ronda Rousey's girls go to these shows. A lot of her friends, the Four Horsemen women, or whatever she calls them, you'll see them in a PWG audience. So, it's kind of cool in that regard. Some of the fans, recognizable faces that you'll see in the audience at these.
I get it. But here's the problem, Colin. I know more people, hardcore pro wrestling fans have fucking had it with this business model. Have fucking had it. Right?
I don't understand it personally, but if it's working for them, I don't know. I don't know. But if it is, then who am I to argue with that? I have no idea. I am not savvy enough to speak about, PWG's finances here.
You don't have a copy of their ledger?
No, I don't. I don't have their tax returns. I don't have any of that.
Well, look, to me, obviously something's working because
it has to be, right?
Right. The lineup that they're bringing in is not cheap, I would assume. Number two, you know, this is the first year they're doing it. They've done this in this way consistently. So, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But still, holy shit. It's borderline frustrating. And maybe that's just the society that we live in the sense of we want it now and we kind of expect to push a button and for it to appear.
Maybe, I expect maybe that for everything.
You do, you entitled prick. But even I'm kind of like, what the fuck? DVD? I'm going to be honest with you. I don't even think I own a DVD player.
Well,
my MacBook does not have a DVD drive. Right.
Yeah, and that's a lot of people. They have to buy like a portable DVD player to hook up to their MacBook.
I can't play a regular DVD in my PlayStation, can I?
Oh, sure you can.
In my PlayStation 3?
Yeah. You have a PS3. Yep. And any Blu-ray player will also play DVDs.
Oh, goody! I get to watch it then.
I can't believe you didn't know that. Actually,
I know I can play Blu-rays because our good friend
Esbach.
Xbox, sorry. Oh, my God, I blagged out. Yeah, he sent me some good stuff there. Okay, I didn't know I could play DVDs in there. Okay, great.
Yeah,
well,
sure.
I, not like I have a lot of DVDs, to be quite frank. I have it all digital. I'm more advanced than PWG. I'm more advanced than PWG.
Think about that. But
think about that, right.
But
I go over this lineup because...
Yeah, let's stop being a cock tease here. And,
yeah, really, Colin. I mean, you and radio, with your radio teases. You know, after the break, we'll get right back and then an hour later.
Yeah, so we have an insane 24-man lineup here, and let's start from the very top. Okay, number one, Cody Rhodes.
Interesting, isn't it?
Very interesting. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, if he can deliver during this tournament because, you know, I mean, how many, like you said the other day, you know, online, I think we were talking about this, how many great Cody Rhodes matches can you name off the top of your head?
Not many, and I know that's a flagship Voices of Wrestling talking point that they like to bring up every so often. Yeah, but I agree wholeheartedly. Name me a great Cody Rhodes match.
Yeah, maybe like one with Mysterio from Mania that one time, but you know. Anyway, number two, Kamaitachi.
Great. Okay. Exciting. Good.
Three, Jeff Cobb.
Okay, I like Jeff Cobb. Jeff Cobb. I haven't seen too much, but what I have seen, decent.
Number four, Mark Haskins. Number five, my boy, Dalton Castle. I'm excited.
All right. Good.
Number six, Peter Dunne.
Okay, good.
Seven, Sammy Callahan.
Yep, we know Sammy, right?
Number eight, Tommy End. Number nine, Trevor Lee.
Trevor Lee, okay, I know him next.
Yep. Number 10, Adam Cole, baby.
Who? I don't know that guy. Next.
Number 11, John Hennigan.
John. Oh, that's John Morrison.
Oh, yeah. Johnny Mundo. Of course.
Yep.
Of course. Yeah. I don't know why I didn't say Johnny Mundo here. But yeah, it's Johnny Mundo. I'm a big Johnny Mundo, Mark. Love that guy.
There you go. Yeah, you certainly are. You don't even know his fucking name.
Number 12, Jack Gallagher.
Jack Gallagher. If I'm not mistaken, he is a... English gentleman as well. Let me double check. Yeah. He actually, you know what? Did you watch the
Bracketology?
Bracketology.
Yep.
Remember the guy with the curly handlebar gimmick mustache?
Yes, I do.
That's your Jack Gallagher right there.
Number 13, Chris Hero.
We know Chris. Very good.
Number 14, Mark Andrews.
Mark Andrews, I know. Go ahead.
Number 15, Ricochet.
I don't know who that is.
I think he's related to Prince Puma.
Nice. Okay.
Number 16, Matthew Riddle.
Matthew Riddle. Okay, I know.
17, Marty Scurll, the villain.
Yes.
Another one of my guys. Number 18, Matt Sydal.
Yeah. Okay. He's getting a lot of work all over the fucking world.
Yeah.
Man,
good for him. Number 19.
He'll be in this. He'll be in this. He'll be in.
He'll be in Super J Cup.
Yeah. Good for him. All right. Good. Next.
19, Kyle O'Reilly.
Oh, yes.
Number 20, Phoenix. Okay. I believe he's a Lucha Underground guy.
Yeah.
Number 21, Zack Sabre Jr., another Cruiserweight Classic participant.
Yeah.
22, Will Ospreay. Mm. 23, Pentagon Jr.
Right.
And number 24, recently announced the final participant in the Battle of Los Angeles. I believe that he is a young upstart by the name of Jushin Thunder Liger.
Wow-wee. Let me ask you this. That lineup is fucking tight, right? There's a lot of New Japan guys. There's a lot of solid indie guys. That lineup to me, I'm more pumped up for than Super J Cup, right?
Honestly, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Right? And again.
But you know what though? Like part of that is because, you know, we're not as familiar with a lot of these Super J Cup participants as we are with, you know, a lot of these names that we've been watching for years here that are participating in Bola.
Even so, that's a fucking great lineup. That might be, seriously, if you can name me a super show, like the only thing I could possibly think of that might be equal to that would be possibly like a dome, you know, combo show with like New Japan, All Japan, like just superstar power, right? Maybe I should rephrase it and say talent, in-ring talent, right? In-ring talent on one show. And again, it's over three nights, but you get my point. Would maybe like All Japan women's like dome show be there? Would that be it? Would it be the Super J Cup 95? Would it be, I don't know, Crockett Cup? Right.
Speaking of All Japan women's dome shows, I hope that the good real hero is going to be putting some of them up in the archive.
I think you might be very happy. I think you might be very happy. You'll see some good stuff out of them come a couple of months, maybe even sooner than that.
So, I hope so.
Yeah, I think you'll be in. I think you'll be in luck. But seriously, that Bola lineup.
Yeah, we've
the talent in that fucking tournament. I'm really hard pressed, to come up with something off the top of my head that is a better lineup than that.
Yeah, so
I'd be curious to hear from others what they think about that lineup and if that is in fact the best. Again, there have been lineup like there have been like super shows in Hawaii where they would bring in like really like a lot of the guys would work these Hawaii shows because, you know, it's Hawaii, right? You know, I'll wrestle for 20 minutes and have 3 days and 4 days in Hawaii. So they would bring in, you know, the best of the best when it came to the United States, but also bring in like Japanese talent too. Jumbo, Tenryu, those kind of guys. So I'm curious, is this lineup the best? I would stack this up to just about any show, and I think it can go neck and neck with talent on paper.
Damon, I have a hypothetical question for you here, and I think that this is something that our listeners are going to be very interested to hear the answer to.
Go ahead.
Okay, so you get a call.
What are you going to say? What's better, WrestleMania 4, Dino Bravo? Okay, I'm sorry. Good.
Okay, so you get a call from the PWG brass, and they say, "All right, Damon, you know, yeah, you're one of the hosts of the PuroCast."
Oh, I'm sorry. You're the voice of the PuroCast.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You're the co-host of the PuroCast.
All right.
And, you know, you can come to this tournament. However, there's one condition here, and that is you have to be one of Dalton Castle's boys.
No problem.
No problem? You would do it?
Absolutely no problem. No, now, listen, here's the thing. No, nobody would want to see that, right? Like, literally, the first three rows would be vomiting.
You realize what this entails. You know, you have to come out bare-chested,
fine,
you know, wearing fine, pretty much a loincloth.
Listen, that sounds like a Tuesday night for me.
Okay, that's the new casual Friday
at the McDonald's
household.
Got that right. I would, aside from fucking, you know, killing an animal or, you know, murdering a small child, I think there's pretty much not a lot left on the table that I would do to get my ass in that building. I mean, those 3 nights are going to be tremendous.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Damon McDonald would be one of Dalton Castle's boys for tickets to these shows.
Somebody can Photoshop that, I'm sure.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't
challenge
wait.
Challenge accepted. All right, there you go. Yeah, but I would do just about anything to get in that building. That's not a challenge, people. That's just I would. Fuck yeah.
Going back to our ranking here, though, that you asked me, how am I ranking these tournaments? So of course G1's number one for me. I'm gonna put Bola number two. Cruiserweight Classic number three. Damon, I gotta tell you, listen, I know we don't like to talk a whole lot about the Evil Empire on this podcast, but I watched that Bracketology special on the network, and man, that was so well produced. It has a very they're giving us a very sports, you know, competition sort of feel, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how far Kota Ibushi and Zack Sabre Jr. are gonna go in this thing.
I watched it. I'll have you know.
I was curious if you watched it or not, because I didn't know if that would be something you would do.
Listen, I'm not, you know, I'll watch. I don't watch a lot of the current day product. I mean, I'll be the first to admit, and I'm very quick to dismiss and hand wave and eye roll. I'm not gonna lie. I am, because I just don't like the product. I don't like, it's not for me. It's not delivered for me. And to me, my life is very short, and there are so many better options out there. I watched a fucking ton of Big Japan in the past couple of days. Ton of it. Big Japan is definitely a promotion that has a little bit of everything for everyone. But anywho, I watched it, and when it was all said and done, it was all over, I just shook my head. I just fucking shook my head, and I said to myself, self, why the fuck don't they do this all the time?
Right?
It was great. The presentation, the way it was delivered, the editing, the packages, the fucking get to know these people, the whole nine yards, the little training snippets that they showed. I thought they did a tremendous job. And again, when it was all done, the first thing that came out of my mouth was, why can't they just do this? I'm on board with you, Colin. I'm G1. I'm Bola. I'm this. And then I'm Super J-Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And who knows? Maybe the Super J-Cup could really just, you know, blow away our expectations, and that could end up being like the number two tournament. Who knows?
I hope so. I mean, and here's the thing. Just because it's not sexy on paper, right? Just because to a lot of people and a lot of, you know, eyeballs, it's not as sexy. Don't give up on it.
Yeah, don't judge a book by its cover.
But I will say this. It's going to be, and I put this in air quotes, it's going to be work. It's not going to be an easy watch for the majority. And I would even go so far as to say the majority of the people listening to our voices, right? Now, listen, if you're listening to the flagship show on Voices of Wrestling, you're kind of a somewhat different, right? And again, we do have crossover. I'm not saying that we don't. But, you know, you got to be a little bit more of a hardcore fan over and above the casual New Japan watcher or new Japan watcher to really get super pumped up over some of the names that are in the Super J Cup. I mean, we're just being honest. I'm being honest.
I'm sure, though, that there are like really hardcore Puduresu guys out there that like know every single name.
Absolutely.
And,
yep,
you know, they're out there. I mean, probably if you go on the Classic board right now on, yep, Facebook, I'm sure there's guys on there who, you know everyone in this tournament.
Yeah. I would say, yeah. I mean, yes, absolutely. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I'm going to be truthful. There are a handful of guys that I don't fucking know, and I don't know what to expect. There's more. I know more than you, Colin, but that's not
sure.
I mean, and that's not like a, you know, I'm not saying I know more than you.
No, it's just a fact.
You know, I mean, but you know more than probably some other people that are casually watchers. You know, it's going to be weird. I'm going to see what kind of feedback this gets. I'm curious to see who's excited for this. And again, especially from the casual, I don't want to say casual because you could be hardcore into it right now, but you know, if you're a new watcher, again, some of these names are going to be a little unfamiliar, and it's going to be a little bit more work for people. But here's what I will ask. Put in the work. It'll be worth it. I really feel that way.
Yeah, so there you go. There's our little Super J Cup preview. Again, that's going to be on Wednesday, July 20th. There's your bowl lineup. Now, let's get back to the topic at hand here, and that is, of course, the G1 Climax 26. And before we go over the card for the opening night, which is going to be, again, on Monday the 18th, I was thinking to myself before we recorded today, and I was thinking this last week, actually, in my mind, logically, you know, if I'm thinking about this logically, there are realistically only two possible matches for the final in this tournament.
Okay.
And they are Tanahashi versus Naito, number one, or Okada versus Naito. I mean, realistically speaking, those are the two main matches I see as your final.
Okay. I have an option.
Okay.
So if let's do this, because I want to get your take on this before we go there. So if you're looking at Block A, right?
Right.
And the way I do G1, and again, it hasn't necessarily been super successful, but this is how I do it. I take a look at the blocks and I say to myself, okay, who needs to be protected? So in other words, who's going to have the lion's share of the wins when it comes to the end of this tournament, right? So in Block A, you have names like Marufuji, Sanada, Tamatanga, Bad Luck Fale.
He needs to be protected.
He sure does. Hiroki Goto. Ralph.
Ralph.
Ishii. Tenzan. Ishii. Tenzan. Makabe. Okada. Tanahashi. To me, in Block A, there are two guys that stand head and shoulders above everyone else, and that's Tanahashi and that's Okada. Correct?
I thought you were going to say Fale and Tenzan.
And Tenzan. Protect the fuck out of them. Am I out of my mind?
Those no. That's right. Thinking logically here.
Right. I don't see Tenzan. I don't see Goto. I don't see Sanada. I don't see, you know, Marufuji. I don't see it. I just don't see it. It's Tanahashi. It's Okada. Because at the end of the day, I'm thinking, okay, who possibly could headline the Tokyo Dome, right? Because that's really, at the end of the day, that's what we're talking about. So who's possibly could headline the Tokyo Dome? Tanahashi, Okada, Block A, right? Okay.
Right.
Block B. That's where it gets a little bit more tricky for me, right? So you have Yano. You have Honma. You have Shibata. You have Nagata. You have Nakajima. You have Evil. Yoshihashi. Michael Elgin. Kenny Omega, Naito. To me, Block B, it's three guys.
Three guys? That you could see headlining the Tokyo Dome?
Not that I necessarily could see headlining the Tokyo Dome, but I feel that we'll get more wins and need to be protected.
Okay.
Okay? And hear me out.
Sure.
Michael Elgin.
Okay, I can see that. I agree with that.
He's got your second belt, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
He's got your Intercontinental belt. He's not going to lose more than he's going to win, right? He's going to win more than he's going to lose, right? But he definitely is the bubble. Do I think he's headlining the fucking dome? No, okay? So let's get that out of the way. So, but I think that he's going to get more wins than losses, right? Makes sense, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said,
out of all the other guys in B, Elgin's getting more wins, right?
Right. He has the second most prestigious title in the company.
Correct. Kenny Omega.
Yep, Kenny Omega.
Can Kenny Omega headline a Tokyo Dome?
I don't see it. Right now, no. I just don't see it.
I don't either. I don't see it right now.
Semi-main event, sure.
Sure. I can't see him being the guy that's going to sell tickets to a Tokyo Dome main event. I just don't see it. Naito. Can he headline the Tokyo Dome?
Yes, he can. At this point, he can. And I think, But that, at this point, is what they're building to. Naito, you know, finally getting his Tokyo Dome main event.
Okay. So
that was stolen from him.
That was stolen from him. That was voted against him. Right, that the fan said, nah, we'll go the other way. Okay. So in essence, we have three people. Let's be honest here. Two people that will win it, right? Naito, Omega, right? Block A, two people, Tanahashi, Okada, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And again, we're going logically here. Like, I do not think that you're going to see Shibata, okay? I do not think that you're going to see Ishii. I don't think you're going to see Goto. I don't
and
think
look,
you're going to see Evil.
Damon, right? Hey, if they did an Ishii Shibata final, I'm all in.
Okay.
That's right up my alley, but we know
sure
that's
is.
Not going to happen.
Right. Okay. So really it's four dog race, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that means that
and that's what it was last year. It was your big four.
Yeah. And that's the way it should be. That's what G1 is, right?
Yes.
It's about producing the best possible main event, Wrestle Kingdom. Okay. So let's work our way backwards. So now we got four guys. That last night, not the finals night, mind you, on the 14th, is it? The 13th is an important night because you have Naito versus Omega, singles match, Los Ingobernables, Bullet Club. That's pretty interesting. It's pretty, pretty, pretty interesting.
It's one of the top five matches of the tournament I'm looking forward to.
Definitely. The night before that, on the 12th, you got, again, both shows, Sumo Hall, Tanahashi, Okada, first time locking horns since the best match ever in the history of modern pro wrestling.
Yeah, those guys have been known to have some okay matches together, you know.
They have.
They're all right.
All right. Those are two important things that you can't hand wave. That those two matches are hanging on till the last nights, right? The end of the tournament. There you go. I think that speaks volumes. So that means, again, if we go along with our logical thinking, Tanahashi's doing well in this tournament. Okada's doing well in this tournament. Naito's doing well in this tournament. Omega's doing well in this tournament. Okay?
Yep.
So we have a couple possible combinations. Could a finals, Colin Miller, could a finals be Kenny Omega versus Hiroshi Tanahashi? Now, knowing full well that they have a built-in feud already, they have not had an opportunity to go one-on-one and settle that feud. Could this be, and Omega and Elgin has pretty much been done, right? Could and Naito and Okada have pretty much been done, right?
For now.
Could this be, okay, but we've seen it two times in a row.
Yep.
Could this be a Tanahashi Omega final at G1. What do you think your odds of that happening?
I think that an Okada Omega finale is more likely, because here's the thing with the Tanahashi Omega finale. Okay, so let's say Tanahashi wins. Well, so he's going to main event the Tokyo Dome against Okada again?
Why not? Colin, I'm going to be honest.
Damon, the fourth time? No, the story was wrapped up. Okada got his redemption. He finally got the big win on the biggest stage. No, it's done. It's over. It is over, brother Damon.
I'm going to say that of all the possibilities, that is the one match that can draw a house. Now, as much as we're sick of it, as much as people are ready to fucking jump out a window at the thought of it, right? It's still, right now, the best option to draw a house at the Tokyo Dome.
It is, but you still have half the year left.
You
and
do.
I really do believe that they can, you know, build up this Naito Okada thing to, you know, something that's going to pop a house.
Okay. I'm saying right now, don't be surprised if you see this right around the corner. Don't be surprised. Because here's the thing. Okada is your champion. Okada, I mean, the last time that happened was like 2000, that the IWGP champion won the G1.
And I think that we're due, honestly.
I mean, I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but I'm just saying it doesn't happen often. It doesn't happen often. Tanahashi can get revenge.
I do think that Tanahashi is winning his match against Okada.
Okay.
I think they're going 50-50 there.
Okay, so Tanahashi takes on Naito?
In your final.
The finals.
Yep.
In the finals of the G1.
Yep, Tanahashi versus Naito, which, you know, is a completely different match than what it was in 2013 in that final.
Yeah. Okay. That is a strong possibility. Strong possibility. I think people are forgetting who Hiroshi Tanahashi is. I really do.
What, injured?
I'm hoping he's not. And that's another thing that you know, you look at this July 18th show. I'm going to see how he feels. I'm going to see how he performs. I'm really curious to see how he comes back from this injury, what kind of shape he's in. I really am. All right, so you're saying Naito wins this ball of wax, right?
Yep.
And you're saying Naito, Okada, Tokyo Dome.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, the rubber match and Naito finally getting his main event on the grandest stage in New Japan.
I'm going to go Tanahashi, Omega. Tanahashi wins G1.
And then it's Tanahashi versus Okada again? What's the story there even at this point?
Like, we've
done it.
It's the story.
It's over.
Is it?
Damon, Wrestle Kingdom 10 wrapped it up in a neat little package, in a small package.
Did it?
Yeah, it did. All Okada right. Finally vanquished his rival.
Two-time winner. Back to back.
Yeah.
The ace.
Yeah, the ace who, you know, is kind of physically hanging on by a thread.
You don't need him all year long. You need him when, Colin?
So what? He's going to pull a Brock and just pull an Undertaker?
Look, I don't know for sure.
Oh, Damon, I got to be honest. I hope you're wrong. I hope you're way off base here.
Am I?
I can't handle it again. I can't.
What do you mean you can't handle? You can't handle the best match you've ever seen in your life?
Yeah, I saw again. It. It's been done. They had three amazing matches at the Tokyo Dome. I go back and watch them.
Colin, the hottest girl you've ever. Who's the hottest girl you've ever? Give me the hottest girl ever.
The hottest girl. What? Does this have to be a celebrity or?
Okay. Well, I mean, we prefer if we all knew the name, Colin. It would help this argument.
I'm really into that Ashley Graham. I'll tell you what.
All right, Ashley right up Graham. I don't know who that is, but Ashley Graham.
She was on the cover of the latest. I can't believe we're talking about this. She was on the cover of the latest Sports Illustrated swimsuit gimmick.
Okay. I don't know. I'm not familiar, but I'll look her up. I'll Google her up. What is her name?
Ashley Graham. Okay. She's considered a quote unquote plus size model.
Wow, look at you. Good for you.
I like some curves. I like some meat on my bones.
Ashley Graham?
Yes.
Cover. Oh, all right. Let's see here. All right.
I can't believe that this is.
Oh, you like the hips, do you?
Yeah, I'm into the hips.
Yeah. You look at you. Like Colin Miller nuzzling his head in there.
All right, Damon. How does this relate to Hiroshi Tanahashi?
I don't know, but my parents are down. I don't know. All right. Wow, that's a nice. I like this. There's one shot. I don't know if it's. I guess it was for. Oh no, it's for Maxim. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, she had a good Maxim spread too. I heard.
You heard. All right, so Ashley is over the house, and let's say that you know, things happen, and you know, you take care of business. She takes care of business,
in
and
like
that's
10
that.
Seconds.
Yeah, you're done in 10 seconds. All right. Well. Okay. Good. So Ashley's a little unsatisfied. Needs another round. Needs another ride on the Colin train. Right? The caboose, if you will.
Oldest ride, longest line.
That's right. So, right? So you find the will and the stamina, and you make it happen again. You wake up in the morning, and Ashley wants to go again. Right? Hey, are you saying no? We've done this twice. This is what you're saying. That's my point. This is the worst point ever, but
it really is.
Well, at the end of the day, everybody's just Googled Ashley Graham and, you know, saw what she was. At least that was positive. My point being is this, Colin. It's a good thing, all right? It's not a bad thing. You're talking like it's a bad thing.
No, it's not a bad thing. It's just I just feel like this arc has been completed. It makes about as much sense as, like, Back to the Future 4. Like,
what?
Or, you know, God, I'm trying to think of another
Ghostbusters 2?
This makes about as much sense as an all-female Ghostbusters. That's just god-awful. I shouldn't say that.
That's terrible.
That's just god-awful. That's a terrible comparison. I apologize. I just, damn it, I don't want to see it. I'm sorry. Yeah, would it be a great five-star match? Of course it would. These guys, you know, they have the best chemistry in the world. But,
okay.
Oh, come on. It's just story-wise. Ugh.
So you'd rather see a less-than match just to have a new story?
You're telling me that Naito versus Okada, main eventing the Dome, is going to be a less-than match? I'm sorry, I disagree.
Than Okada Tanahashi?
Naito and Okada can deliver just as good of a Tokyo Dome main event as Tanahashi and Okada can. Okay. You're talking about Naito like he's some mid-card geek.
Is he?
No, he's not. You're talking about him like he's Takahashi or somebody.
No. That's...
I think Takahashi should challenge for the briefcase for whoever wins.
Me too. I think so.
and then
that
win.
Would be great. All right, listen. I don't know. I don't see the dollar signs in front of Tanahashi, I don't see the dollar signs in front of Okada Naito as I would see. Well, let me ask you this. I know they have a month. They have 6 months. I'm curious to know, what was the gate at Invasion Attack, and what was the gate at Dominion?
Well, we're going to have to look that up for next time.
Were they sellouts? Were they standing room only?
Dominion wasn't a sellout. I know that. I know for a fact that it was less than last year.
Okay. So was there a demand? Were there people waiting outside for Naito and Okada? Were people like, were there riot police outside? Trying to quell and tone down the crowd outside waiting to get into this building to see this match?
If the gates were less, it was because of the absence of AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura.
Okay. Regardless, they were put in a position to draw the house, right? Now you're going to put that same match in the fucking Tokyo Dome?
Are you saying that it did poorly?
I'm saying that it, like, you could fit the building...
You have half the year to build this thing up, and you can do it. They can do it.
Yeah. I'm just saying they haven't done it yet. You're gonna have to do 30,000, 40,000. They're headlining the show again, Tokyo Dome. They've had two shots this year. They weren't even sniffing. They weren't even fucking in the ballpark. Pardon the pun.
No, what was it? 25 for this past
year's
show?
Yeah. I mean, come on. That's going to be a real fucking empty building with 2,500 people in there.
10,000 less than Wrestle Kingdom 9.
Okay. Just saying. Help me out. I know everybody's all on board with fucking Naito. And again, Wrestle Kingdom is a different animal in the sense that it is an event and it is kind of a, you know, but trust me, they've had shows where they've drawn crickets and a lot of empty seats.
And again, I know that I am looking at this through Western eyes, but just to me, you know, the rubber match between Okada and Naito is an infinitely more interesting story then Tanahashi versus Okada, round and round we go. We're going to be doing this until we're 70.
Okay. And again, you have a 6 month window to make this more of a draw than Dominion and Invasion Attack.
Okay? I'm not saying that it's an uphill climb, but are you saying that it's impossible to do that?
Khan, I'm telling you right now, I don't see how Okada Naito would outdraw Okada Tanahashi. I really don't.
Currently, because, I'm going to have to agree with you.
Okay. So at the end of the day, and again, I'm not even saying which one I would prefer more or less story-wise. That's neither here nor there. I'm saying from a pure business standpoint, the proof's in the pudding. Proof's in the pudding.
Let me ask you that question, though. How about that? Which would you prefer more story-wise? Okada versus Tanahashi, which the story's been told.
Yeah, Colin, I'm going to the fucking show. I'm traveling. I'm there.
I know.
A week in Tokyo. I'm there.
I know. I wish I could, you know, be there right beside you, you know, and we could be doing Puro, you know, Purocast updates, but.
Yeah. Well, you should think about it. Jerk. No. I want to see Tanahashi Okada.
Oh, my God. You selfish.
I want to see Tanahashi Okada.
Selfish man.
I'm telling you right now, if given the choice, if I could see Tanahashi Okada over Okada Naito, I would take it every day and Tuesday. Yeah.
Well, while we're at it, let's add another chapter to the Bible. I mean, Revelations didn't wrap it up, you know, nicely enough. So let's add another chapter, you know, Revelations Part 2, Electric Boogaloo. Like
the Book of Damon.
Yeah, the Book of Damon.
I'd like that. I like the sound of this.
Oh, my God. I just, no, this story, that match was the perfect ending. It was the perfect ending. It was probably the best match they ever had, and that's saying a lot.
Colin, I call it the best match ever.
Why do we need to tarnish that?
It's still there, Colin. The match doesn't go away.
Right? Well, of course it doesn't go away, but...
What are you tarnishing?
I'm sorry. To me, it was just such a perfect ending to that story, and why do it again? Why have a lesser version?
Because they know I'm coming over, and that's what I want to see.
Oh, this all goes back to you. It's all about you
the show
and,
for me.
And food and
yeah. Well, I'm gonna. Oh, am I gonna eat there? You got that right. I'm gonna have a hoagie right in the front row.
Well,
it's gonna be me and Kevin Kelly eating Stromboli while watching Tanahashi and Okada.
Look, how about this? How about we get into this whole lineup for the 18th show?
All right, let's do the 18th show. You've been teasing it for 2 hours now. You're out of control.
I know. And, yeah, this is Monday the 18th. You know, once again, there's going to be English commentary on this show from Kevin Kelly and King Carino live on NJPWWorld.com at 2 a.m. Eastern time. And, you know what? Let's start from the bottom up and look at some of these undercard matches here, because you know, some of them are at least to me worth mentioning and a little bit interesting. So
yeah.
It's going to kick off with an 8-man tag here. We've got
yay!
I know we haven't seen enough of them. Tiger Mask, Jushin Thunder Liger, Manabu Nakanishi, and
this is like a nightmare.
And Katsuyori Shibata.
Right.
Wow, that's a great team versus Captain New Japan,
right.
Ryusuke Taguchi, Kushida, and Tomoaki Honma. See, this is kind of interesting.
That's not interesting.
Yes,
go
yes
ahead.
It is.
Tell me why?
Because the teams like Kushida and Honma teaming up, and Shibata and Nakanishi. Yeah, I'm in.
I am so not in. This is not the way I wanted to start.
next match here.
Yeah, no. There are other matches that are juicier, guys.
Speaking of juicier, this is a great segue.
Go ahead.
A tag team match. Juice Robinson and Satoshi Kojima versus Nakajima and Toru Yano.
Actually, that's somewhat interesting.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nakajima and Yano teaming up there.
And what we got? Juice and who?
Juice and Kojima, who sacrificed his G1 position for Tenzan. Mm-hmm.
Kojima does have a little history in Noah as well. Juice Robinson being the
fall man?
Yeah, pretty much. I think we can see that one 1,000 miles away. I don't know. I'm kind of interested in that. Here's what it does, too. It does give Juice a little bit more of a
juice.
Prominent role. Yeah, a little more juice. A little bit more of a prominent role. And again, hopefully we see a little bit more out of him. So
I say Nakajima pins Juice there.
Who does Kojima have the next night? Let me see. Do we know?
In the undercard?
No. So the 22nd, it's Nagata, Shibata, Honma, Logan Evil, Yano versus Nakajima, right? On the 22nd.
Right.
And I'm sorry, what's the tag match we have here?
Juice Robinson and Kojima versus Nakajima and Yano.
Oh.
This is on the first night of the G1 Climax, by the way.
Right, but the second night is Yano versus Nakajima.
Right.
Isn't that weird that they're tagging on the first night?
Yeah, I guess it is kind of weird, but that's what makes it interesting, I suppose.
All right, that's my only point. All right, very good. Somewhat level. Are we doing scales of 1 to 10? I'll give it a solid
5.
5. Yeah, I'll go 5.
Yeah, let's go 5 with this one. Another tag match here. We have Gedo and Yoshihashi taking on Yujiro Takahashi and Kenny Omega.
Wow. Huh.
I'm giving this one a 6.
No, I'm not giving
it. I want to see this Takahashi Omega tag team. I want to see I'm in this for the comedy.
4. 4.
All right. We've got a 6-man tag here in the final undercard match. We've got David Finlay, Michael Elgin, and Yuji Nagata. Interesting team.
I like that.
Taking on Bushi, Evil, and Naito.
I think that match is going to rock.
Yeah, I agree.
I like that match a lot. I think that's going to be fun.
See?
I think it's predictable who's taking the fall, but still. That's one of those kind of weirder 6-mans, right? I like that. I'm down with that one. Totally.
Yeah, absolutely. And
I think Michael Elgin's excited for a little. It's Elgin and Nagata.
Yeah, Elgin, Nagata, and Finlay.
That's a fucking nice. That's a future never title right there.
Yeah, right. Right.
Fuck yeah. All right. Good.
All right. Very cool. So that's your undercard there for this first night of the G1. Now let's get into the 5 tournament matches here.
Yeah.
So we've got kicking it off. Hiroyoshi Tenzan versus Tomohiro Ishii. Now, the question with this match, you know, with all of the hullabaloo surrounding Tenzan, this being his final G1, could we see him pull off an upset, if you would even call it that, against Ishii?
As LL Cool J would say, don't call it a comeback. Pretty good, right? The whitest guy in the world. Just
he was in Halloween H2O, by the way. Remember that?
LL?
Yeah. LL Cool J was in the Halloween movie from 98 with Jamie Lee Curtis.
I don't know if you know this, Colin. Ladies love Cool J.
They do.
And he always wears that silly hat. I never see him with anything. He's one guy that like hates the fact that he's bald. Because he's like Edge from U2. You never see him without a fucking hat.
Love
you
the Edge. I mean?
Yeah. You never like those are two guys that are just not comfortable with their loss of follicles.
He always wears the numbered shirts too. The Edge, he'll have like a number 7 shirt. Like,
I know, what's that about?
Because he's the Edge. Anyway,
I hear you. What match are we talking about?
Tenzan versus Ishii.
Oh, my bad, my Ralph. My bad. I said it last week, Colin Miller, that this was this is where Tenzan kicks off his last G1 with a W,
he's coming out swinging here then?
I think so. I think you're going to have to get these wins in because as a legit comment, I don't think he's finishing the tournament. I don't think he has. You know what? I say that.
Watch him be in the final.
He's not going to be in the final. If he's in the final.
It's like him versus...
If he's in the final, I'm coming out with Dalton Castle.
It's Tenzan versus Naito in the final, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm coming out as a young boy or whatever he is. No, but I think Tenzan gets a win here. I think this is a win for him.
Yep,
I think
this
is 2 points.
Strong possibility. Next match, we've got Togi Makabe versus Tama Tonga.
Okay, so... Makabe, I don't think many people are excited for, but I think everybody's excited for Tama Tonga. Again, I said it last week. This is a moment we've all been clamoring for and all been waiting for. Well, now it's time to, as they say in the business, put up or shut up. I think he puts up. I think he's excited. I think he's ready to go. Singles match, G1 first match. Little butterflies possibly. but I think he'll do well. I don't know if this is a strong opponent for him out of the gate. I see him being a bump machine. I see him taking some wacky bumps for Makabe.
I see Makabe picking up the victory here,
I do see Makabe picking up the win as well. Yeah.
Next match, we've got Hirooki Goto versus Bad Luck Fale.
Hmm.
Not a pretty match.
Well, no. Usually you need an Okada or a Tanahashi in the ring with Fale to get a good match out of him. I'm worried about his physical condition. Fale, he has put on a significant amount of weight. And that's me saying that.
Yeah, who are you to?
Colin, again, please. With the shame, the body
I
know, shame.
I need to tone that down a bit. I apologize. That's going to be my half-year resolution.
Good. Mine's going to be watch more Tanahashi Okada matches.
Oh.
Who's picking up the win here? I'm going to go Fale.
I was going to say Goto.
All right. Let's have a little friendly wager.
All right.
I'll bet 20,000 American.
Damn, I've only got a few thousand in my bank account. Jesus.
No. Let's bet one American dollar. You know, let's really go hard.
All right.
I'll take Fale. You take Goto. Let's call the whole thing off.
All right. Sure. I'm going Goto. You're going Fale. I take the high road and you take the low road.
I think Fale's got to pick up wins. I think it happens early too. I think just like last year, where I don't want to say scrubs got early wins, but scrubs are going to get early wins. So I think here's where Fale picks up.
I don't want no scrubs.
Well, don't worry, I won't burn down your house. All right, because TLC, you know, Left Eye burnt down.
Exactly.
Thank you very much.
Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Sanada in a match I think that a lot of people have their eyes on here. This is I think we're looking at a Tanahashi victory to start off. Just like we saw last year, he defeated Ibushi in his opening night, and I think that's what we're looking at here. But you know, it'll be interesting to see if Sanada can really step up to the plate here against the ace.
I'm on the fence here too a little bit. I was watching a lot of Sanada earlier this year.
Like All Japan?
Big Japan. A couple of Big Japan shows that he was on.
Was he in All Japan?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know. I'm trying to think. Was he in this past year? I think I'm going to say probably. I mean, all those promotions, it seemed like exchange talent. You know, it's like nobody's got like locked up talent. Yeah, I think Tanahashi picks up the win here too. I think so too. So we're on the same page with that. Okay. So it should be a good match. Should be a really great match. I'm hoping Sanada steps up. I don't know. I for me, it hasn't been a spectacular New Japan run so far. I'm hoping there's a lot of guys that I'm really hoping for big things that come out of the G1. He's one of them. I still think Tanahashi gets the win here though.
Absolutely. And the main event for this opening night here, we've got Kazuchika Okada versus Naomichi Marufuji. I'm looking forward to this one. I think it's going to be great.
I am too.
I think we're looking at an Okada victory. I think he's starting off strong. Kind of like how Tanahashi started off strong last year in the main event.
Something tells me this is a Marufuji win.
Really?
Yeah. Something, for whatever reason, this kind of screams out a Marufuji win. Which one's definitely headlining?
Okada.
Is Okada Marufuji definitely headlining?
That is definitely headlining. These listings don't lie, Damon.
Who does Okada have? He has Sanada after this, right? On the 23rd.
The 23rd, Okada has Sanada.
Yeah.
And Tanahashi has Makabe. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That'll be Makabe's match of his year.
Yeah, you have Ishii Goto. Yeah, that 23rd show is probably one of the ones that I'm probably looking forward to least. But let's take care of this one first. I think Marufuji wins. I'm going to go Marufuji.
Okay, Damon's going Marufuji. I'm going Okada.
Okay. Yeah, that 23rd show, Tenzan, Tonga, Marufuji, Fale.
Yikes.
Ishii Goto.
Ishii Goto. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, Okada Sonata. That should be good. That should be good.
Yeah, I hope it's better than their first match. That one was a bit underwhelming to me, but, you know.
And then Tanahashi Makabe.
Yeah, which is, interesting headliner, but.
Yeah.
You know what? Personally, I think they could get away with putting Ishii versus Goto as the headliner for this one.
They won't do that.
I think they could get away with it, though. I mean, that's going to be the best match.
It might be. Nah, that's undercard. Okada Sonata, Tanahashi Makabe. Those two are, yeah. So that would take us to what, the 23rd, right?
Yep.
And then our next show would be what, the 24th?
Yep, the 24th at Corican Hall. It's a B block show.
That's a good show, dude. That 24th show was fantastic, I think. Elgin Naito should be great. Nagata Evil sounds really good to me.
Yeah, that could be tasty.
Shibata Nakajima, which I've said this before. That might be the match of the tournament. That match is going to be tremendous. That's a Corkin, right?
This is a Corkin Hall. And once again, this show starts at 5:30 a.m. Eastern time. And yeah, like you said, Shibata versus Nakajima is a match a lot of people are talking about and looking forward to because very similar styles, you know, mm-hmm. between the two.
Yeah. Yano Omega, Comedy Central.
Yeah,
right?
I'm looking forward. I can't wait for that.
Really?
Yeah, I really can't.
Okay. Elgin Naito again. Nagata Evil
and Honma
Hashi.
Yeah, Honma Yoshihashi could be a diamond in the rough.
Okay, so let's talk about this one.
Let's.
Honma is notorious for not being able to get the wins. Right, he only got one win last year against Ishii Ralph.
Right.
Does Yoshihashi get the win here against Honma?
I think he does, because I'll tell you why. I think that Honma's win is going to come early, but it's going to be against Shibata, because I really see them continuing that feud down the line.
That's on the 22nd.
Yep.
Yoshihashi picks up a big win against Honma at Corkin Hall. That's
yes.
a big win. I see that too. I think that stands out like a sore thumb.
What do you think though about the possibility of an early Honma win? You know, they waited until late in the tournament last year, but what if we did it early? You know, on the second night, you know, against Shibata.
Shibata's got to pick up a loss. Shibata needs it. You know, Honma needs.
I think it's going to be against Honma.
Yeah, and again, that's on the 22nd. I can see Shibata losing there.
Because like I said, I mean, at the end of that match at Kizuna Road, you know, we saw Shibata just, you know, kick him out of the ring like he was a piece of garbage. And, you know, this is far from over, I think.
I could definitely see that. Again, that 22nd show is fucking tight. Elgin Evil. We talked about their Ring of Honor match, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Watanabe.
Yep.
Shibata Honma. Nagata Naito. That's a good fucking show. Yoshihashi versus Omega. It's a good show. We are going to fucking just, our pants are going to be down this week. Woo.
Yeah, this week, the rest of July and most of August.
This week is going to be ridiculous. G1, 18th, skip the 19th, 20th, we got J Cup,
yep.
Right? 21st, right? Oh, my God. Goodness, 21st? Oh, no, excuse me, nothing on the 21st. 22nd, 23rd, 24th? Oh, my.
Can your heart handle this, Damon? Because I know you're an older gentleman, and, you know, your cardio might not be up to snuff, is, you know.
That's not what your mom says.
Whoa, hey, now we're going down
a slippery slope?
Yeah.
All right, just kidding, Miss Miller, of course. Dude, I don't know. This is a great week for pro wrestling, guys. And you get to listen to a fresh new podcast.
That's right. What could be better? I mean, count your blessings, folks.
Count them up. All right, are we done?
Yeah, I think that about does it for today's episode of the PuroCast.
Yay.
And, you know, once again, thank you guys so much for always, you know, number one, listening. Number two, you know, subscribing to us on iTunes and Stitcher and listening on NewJapanPuroCast.com. You know, we upload the episodes there first, and you can go there right away and listen to a fresh new PuroCast, usually every Sunday night. Like we were talking about last week, we're going to try and maybe do some instant takes for a lot of these G1 shows during the week, you know, maybe later in the evening. Damon and I'll get together, you know, we'll talk, you know, just for like 20-30 minutes, you know, about those matches of the night, you know. So we'll see what happens there, but that's a strong possibility.
Let's say we'll probably have something, right?
Yeah.
Again, 20-30 minutes. It'll be surprise. It'll be up. I don't know what day. Sorry, I'm eating a protein bar.
You're an animal.
I need my energy is zapped. But we're talking about doing something midweek. So don't be surprised if randomly the tweet goes out, you get a notification on your podcast RSS thingamabob that you got a fresh new show. Again, maybe about a 20-minute, half an hour kind of thing, which means we'll definitely go 2 hours.
No.
It'll be 2 o'clock in the morning. Colin, I gotta go to bed.
Look, these are gonna be like separate from our New Japan PuroCast flagship show, which we're still doing every Sunday. You know, that's not gonna change. But you know, these are gonna be kind of like, you know, PuroCast instant takes for that day of the G1. So you know,
I like that.
Keep your eye on NewJapanPuroCast.com. Keep your eye on our Facebook page, our Twitter page, which, you know, you can link to from the official website. And, of course, you know, visit our good buddies at VoicesOfWrestling.com. I'm sure that they're going to be posting their G1 Climax 26 pick'em sooner rather than later, since the tournament's right around the corner. So that's a ton of fun to participate in, you know, as Damon and I saw last year, you know.
Yeah, that'll really give us a real good indicator of how we're doing in this tournament and if we're even on point. VoicesOfWrestling.com. Keep an eye out for them. That pick 'em pool, it's always a fun time. I got some ideas how I'm going to work this one, and I'm going to walk away with all those fresh DVDs. They usually do like
a giveaway
video or something. Yeah. Rudo is one of those. So yeah, good times. I'm sorry, I'm eating and talking at the same time. Terrible radio etiquette.
Well, no one ever accused you of being a professional.
That is for sure.
No, but seriously, folks, thanks again for all your support. You know, keep those comments coming in on iTunes. Keep the 5-star ratings coming in on iTunes, Stitcher. You know, feel free to message us with any questions you may have on our Facebook page. Hit us up on Twitter. And once again, NewJapanPuroCast.com. All the new episodes, instant takes, and everything will be posted there first. And, of course, our good friends at VoicesOfWrestling.com. So, on that note, we're going to wrap things up here. We will be back next week, same time, to talk more about all of the exciting goings-on in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. So, for Mr. Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. We'll catch you guys down the road. Later.